So last Sunday, Josh spoke on discipleship. He mentioned that you need to be a disciple and make disciples. He defined a disciple as a learner, a pupil, or an apprentice. And that's what we're all to be. We're all supposed to be learners and pupils and apprentices of Jesus our Savior. And, you know, this message is going to also be on discipleship with a little bit different focus. In the series that we are on, Jerry made out different ones, and he wanted a balanced approach to discipleship. The principal theme was a balanced approach to discipleship. And there's been something in my background that's kept me as a reminder that we approach discipleship in a balanced way. So that's what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. Focused is on being balanced as a disciple. And as a soldier, think of it a little bit like this. As a soldier, we must train and we must learn from other experienced soldiers to be successful and be prepared. We don't want to just approach this like we want to just put on the uniform. We want to train and be experienced and know how to do our skill and be able to contribute that way. We want to be a disciple of our Savior that is prepared for whatever. And we need to be that disciplined, like a soldier is disciplined in his training. And our spiritual walk is just like that. We're going to talk about how to be strong and disciplined and balanced in our service to our Savior as a disciple. I'm going to share with you something that I took a discipleship course when I was in my 20s or 30s. That was a long time ago, right? The course was called Master Life. And it was a 26-week discipleship training course. 26 weeks. And we met once a week. And there was memorization involved and homework involved almost every night. And that was a challenge for me. How many of you like homework? And how many of you can memorize things just like that? There are some people that can memorize scripture just like that. I struggled. This Master Life course was, it was written, the first person that wrote it was Avery Willis. He was a missionary in Indonesia, so it was first written in the Indonesian language for Indonesians. And then it was translated into English, and then it was translated into all different languages throughout the world and used as a discipleship course greatly at this time. It has been so long ago that when I talk to seminary students like Josh, they haven't even heard of it. And Lynn and I took it when it was new, okay? That's how long ago it was and how old we are getting. So in Master Life, I struggled. Lynn and I took it together. I had trouble with the memorization, the homework. I always had something. It was when we had a young family, our kids were young, and there was always something that needed to be done and always something that demanded my time and always something that I'd rather do than do homework and memorize scripture. Lynn, on the other hand, always had her homework done. Always memorize the scripture. Always, you could read her book. You could read her homework. It was like it was just almost perfect. And if we were given grades, and thank goodness we weren't, Lynn would have gotten an A. I would have maybe gotten a C. Okay? So it was a struggle for me. But even though it was a struggle for me, all my life since then, I have referred back to this personally and then in churches that we have been in to keep it in balance. There are certain disciplines that need to be in our lives for us to be strong disciples. And those disciplines need to be, we need to be paying attention to all of them And I've used it constantly, even though I was not the A student. I was the C student. So let's get started. If you want to go ahead and put my visual aid up, there's a diagram up here. And if you missed some of the verses that I go over, you can find them up there. But let me show you what's under the Grim Reaper here. It's what I built in my shop. And some of you guys that are really good craftsmen, don't make fun of my abilities here. Lynn told me to be careful with this. That works. Doesn't have to be straight. So, this is the Disciples' Cross, and this is a diagram of what was presented to me years ago, and it stuck with me so much. And if you look in your bulletin, I think you've got a blank piece of paper. If you want to go get out your bulletin or a blank piece of paper and draw on there a cross, and in the middle of the cross, put an empty circle. In the middle of your cross, put an empty circle. And you can write down these verses and refer back to them later on. But this has always been in the back of my mind for years and has kind of kept me in balance. Help me to remain in balance. It's been a quick check for me. In Luke 9:23, it says, "And he said to all, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And if you see in the diagram up there, deny, cross, and follow up in the upper left-hand corner, up your upper left-hand corner. So the first thing as disciples, if we are going to follow him, we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. To deny ourselves, in Luke 14:26, it says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." That's hard teaching, right? He's not really teaching us that we are to hate our mothers and our fathers. Children out there, you are to love your mothers and your fathers. You are to respect your mothers and your fathers. And children out there, if there are any, you're supposed to even love your brothers and sisters. Other verses in the scripture tell us that. He's not talking about hating your brothers and your fathers and anybody else in your own life. And it's not even talking about hating your own life. It's talking about denying yourself and putting him as the number one relationship in your life. Jesus has to be primary. Jesus wants you to put him in control of your life. And when you come to Christ, that's what you are doing. You are giving him your life. And he is in control. So deny yourself is the first thing. The second thing it says, take up your cross daily. In Luke 14:27, it says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." When Jesus was on the cross, he bore our sins, and he was that perfect sacrifice for our sins so that we can live eternally through him. The weight that he bore on the cross was all of our sins. Our cross is whatever he calls us to do, whoever he calls us to be, whatever he is leading us to do. Our cross is pick up our cross daily and bear that cross. So it is daily, and we are all called to bear our cross, to do, to work, to witness, to move, to have action in our lives for our Savior. The second thing is take up your cross. The third thing is follow him. In Matthew 4:19, he said to him, to them, this is Jesus speaking, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And he was talking to future disciples on the boat. He were on the boat with his father, and his father, they were mending the nets. And his children, his sons, dropped everything and left the father to mend the nets all by himself and followed him. So we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him in the way that they did. When we deny ourselves, we put Jesus in that center circle of our lives. We are no longer what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. When we deny ourselves, we put him in that. So in the center of your cross, write the word Jesus and write John 15:5. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And I'm testimony to you, without Jesus Christ, I'm a mess up. I can't do anything without the power of the infilling Holy Spirit. I will mess up more things than I fix. But we are to abide in him and he in us. And the cross, the center of the cross, and Jesus being the center of the cross represents Christ being in complete control of our lives. It's not who we don't live for ourselves anymore. We live for him and he directs us. And it's a natural thing that if we abide in him and he in us, that we bear fruit. It's a natural thing that it will happen. At the bottom of the cross, write the word word. The word word, I know that's redundant, but if I just use write word, you would ask me, which word? And I would say word. But write the word word. And John 8:31-32 says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in me and my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The word, and we all know this, the word is vital to abiding in him and knowing him. It's the way to know the truth and to be set free from the bondage that we're living in. Knowing the word grows us, challenges us, teaches us, reminds us, and sets us free. Knowing the truth about Christ and the truth about eternity is all freeing for us. The world without Christ and the Christian who doesn't know the word are still going to be living in bondage and fearful. The word sets us free, and knowing the word sets us free. At the top of the cross, write the word prayer. And John 15:7. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You notice that the word and prayer are related. The word helps you understand how to pray and who you are praying to. And they're also on the vertical part of the cross, because the vertical cross represents our vertical relationship between us and God. On the right side of the cross, write the word fellowship and John 13:34-35. Says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This horizontal part of the cross, horizontal part, represents our horizontal relationships that we have with each other, that we are supposed to have with each other. It represents on the right side our fellowship with other believers. Notice the thing that's mentioned most in those verses that we are to do as believers is to love each other. And I believe that if our churches loved as Christ loved, they would all be full. Who wouldn't want to be in a loving group of believers that loves the Lord and loves each other? But sometimes we fail at this and we don't love as Christ loved. Our flesh and our sinful nature takes over, and sometimes we get known as an argumentative, judgmental bunch. And we are to love each other as Christ loved. And we're to do that as individuals. Each individual is responsible to love other believers. On the left side, write the word witness in John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So we are to bear fruit. It is not optional. This means that we're supposed to share the gospel and lead other people to Christ and make other disciples. That's the Great Commission and the Great Commission, that we are to make disciples, to teach and to baptize, and to make disciples of others. It's not optional. Our lives, words, and values should be so different that all people will notice. We should live our life as if it's a beacon of light for the truth that is within us. We're supposed to live it. We're supposed to talk about it. We're supposed to have words. We're supposed to have actions. And it should be a natural part of your life and a natural part of what Christ has done for you. And when you do that, you will bear fruit. And notice that bearing fruit glorifies our Father and proves that we are his disciples. It should be bearing fruit, and being a witness should be a natural result of everything that Christ has done for us. I want you to think about it like this. If you are not witnessing to the lost world, if you are not sharing Christ on a regular basis to the lost world, with who you are, with your words, with your values, if you are not different from the lost world and showing them, you're actually hiding what Christ has done for you. Because that Christ is to take over. And when they look at you, your values, your lifestyle, your actions should reflect him. And if you're thankful and if you love the Lord, you're going to want to be different. You're going to want to show. And when we don't, we're actually hiding the truth. Bearing fruit and being a witness is not an optional part of being a disciple. Notice again that the vertical part of the cross represents its word and prayer, and represents a vertical relationship we are to have. Notice the horizontal part represents the relationship we are to have with each other. There's two general relationships that this cross represents and that we are to show, and it's in Matthew 22:37-39. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And this is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we are to love our Lord our God, and we are to love each other. That's the great commandment. There are five disciplines that need to be, these are five disciplines that need to be in each disciple's life. The first one is Christ. We need to be Christ-centered. All things are about Christ, and he is directing our lives, and he is in charge. Deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. The word gives us the truth. Prayer is our chance to communicate with our Lord and Savior and commune with him, fellowshipping with other believers and living as a witness for him. Out of these disciplines grow ministries. Out of the word, you can write down at the bottom, grows the ministry of teaching and preaching. And you hear that this morning. You can hear that in life groups and small groups. Anytime you're sharing the gospel or teaching the gospel, you're performing the ministry of teaching and preaching. But anytime you know the word and you are sharing and explaining the word to somebody, you are proclaiming the truth. You are performing the ministry of teaching and preaching whenever you know the word and you are sharing it and proclaiming it. At the top, at prayer. Prayer facilitates the ministry of worship and intercession. Worship is our expression of love and praise to the God that we know and the God that created all things. Intercession is our ability to pray for each other and to communicate with our Lord and Savior. Fellowship on this side is the ministry of nurture. Our church, this group of believers, should be in such a loving environment, that it's such a warm and comfortable, nurturing environment that we build and grow and nurture disciples. On the right side, or on the left, my right side, your left, is the ministry of evangelism. When you witness, you are evangelizing, you are sharing the gospel. And there's one other ministry that is all-encompassing of all these, and it's the ministry of service. It's a general way of explaining it. It's John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. It's the ministry of service that we all accomplish with all of these things, serving each other, serving the lost, serving in many, many different ways. To summarize the diagram, we serve one Lord, and Christ is at the center of our lives. We have two great relationships. We love God, and we love others. We have three things to do as a disciple to focus on. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. We need four disciplines to grow as a disciple. We need the word. We need prayer. We all have to have that vertical relationship. We also need each other. We need fellowship. And we also need to live as a witness and to share our gospel, share our truth with the lost world. And out of these five ministries, out of these disciplines, grow the ministry of teaching and preaching, worship, intercession, nurture, evangelism, and the works of service. So out of these disciplines, when we have these disciplines, out we will minister out of those. Now, the thing that I've used this for constantly in my life is these are the basic disciplines that we're to have as a disciple. This is the basic disciplines that I should have as an individual. And because of giftedness and our human nature, most of us are usually stronger in one than another, right? We will normally, and just think, is it appropriate to focus in one and leave the others out because we're gifted in one way or another? Is that appropriate? So let's look at the need for balance of all these things to occur and us to be a disciple in all these disciplines in our lives and to keep them in balance. What if, and I built this is wiggling for a reason. What if we're strong in the fellowship and we're weak in witnessing? And I say this one because this is one that I might struggle with a little bit. In my earlier years, I struggled with this. What would our condition be like if we're strong in fellowship and we are weak in being a witness? And these are my thoughts, and you guys think about it also. These are my thoughts, and maybe it's just to make you think. If we're strong in a fellowship, weak in witnessing, we will enjoy being a part of a local church body. We'll love and enjoy being at church and being with other believers. It will be a blessing to you. It will be your main focus. Church will be your focus and your priority. You will be comfortable at church. You don't witness. You don't share the truth of the gospel about your relationship with Christ very often. And actually, you try to avoid it because you don't want to offend anybody. You will refer people to the pastor instead of sharing the gospel from your own heart, but you are a faithful church attender. There is no new growth. There is no excitement of leading someone to Christ and discipling somebody and growing somebody up to be a stronger disciple. You don't have intentional activities in your life to mix with the lost world and to share your life with them as a witness and to look for opportunities to share the gospel with them personally. If you're strong in fellowship and weak in witness, here's what you need to do. I have had to do this in my younger life. You have to ask God through prayer to give you natural opportunities to share his truth with others and pray for the words to say and the way to share them with people when they come. I tell you, he will answer that prayer. So when you're strong in fellowship and weak in witness, you're not reaching out to the lost world. There's another condition. That doesn't even look like a cross anymore. It looks like something you would hang your mailbox from or hang a sign on. What if you're weak in fellowship, but you're strong in witnessing? This probably means you're gifted at evangelism. And Jerry and I were talking this morning, and I've seen people that were gifted in evangelism. And they want to talk about Jesus all the time, all the time. You probably don't worry about offending people. You will talk about Jesus all the time, and you think that's the part. And you get excited and blessed from winning the lost to Jesus. And you talk about it all the time, and it's in your conversations all the time. And you will win the lost. You will share. And that is what fuels your fire. But if you're weak in fellowship, you may not even be a faithful member of a local church body. And you may be missing that love and nurturing environment that a good local Bible-loving body provides. And we all need that nurturing environment. If you are strong in witnessing and weak in fellowship, you can win the lost, but you also have to have that loving, nurturing environment to help make disciples of them. And Jesus sent out his disciples two by two. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. We are not to be that way. We're supposed to be a church body that grows together and ministers together. So if you're weak in the fellowship, you're missing out on that love relationship. What if you're weak in the word? What if you're weak in the word? What's your condition? You're probably a believer who attends church. You're a part of a church. But most of the spiritual input you get from in the week is from a sermon. You probably don't study your Bible, read your Bible on your own. You probably don't understand it very well. There's always something else to do instead of reading your Bible and applying the Word and understanding God's Word. There's TV to watch. There's a computer to play on. There's stuff to do outside. You've always got something to do instead of getting into the Word. You understand the basics of being a believer because you can be a believer and not understand the Word. But you have a hard time explaining what it is. You're probably still fearful and worried about life. You don't know the full truth. You only know the basics. And if you don't know the full truth, you haven't been freed because you don't dwell in the Word and understand all the truth that comes to you from knowing the Word about our lives for eternity, not just what's here and now. The truth is freeing. Without knowing the Word, you will not know and understand the complete nature of God. You will not know and understand the Savior's character and nature. Because of this, your love for the Savior and our Heavenly Father will not grow strong as it should be. And love is important for our Heavenly Father. You must know the Word to live in the truth, and the truth sets us free. It's so much better to be free and understand all the truth, as much of the truth as we can. What if we're weak in prayer? What if we're weak in prayer? Without prayer, we're missing an opportunity to talk and hear from God. And Jesus was our model for this. Remember, he had to slip away at all times. And he would slip away on his own, and he would pray and commune with God and talk to him and listen. And if he's being the Son of God, needs to slip away and talk to him, I think we need to also. Prayer leads to worship and intercession. Worship is an expression of love for our God. And that is one of the foundational things that God desires from us, is for us to express love for him. And without prayer, we're losing that opportunity. Without prayer, our love will grow. It will be difficult for it to grow because you're not spending time with him. And our love will grow stale, and our faith will grow weak. Prayer is personal time spent with the Lord, and it's vital and important. Prayer will help our love grow stronger for our Savior. And there's power in prayer. Let's look at this a little bit different way. This diagram was taught to me to represent the individual and the disciplines that an individual has in life. But another way that I've used it is I believe that it also represents what a church is to be like, the disciplines that a church are supposed to have. For a church to be strong, we need to also have all the basic disciplines. Christ needs to be the center of our church. He is the head of our church, and he should be the priority. He is actually in charge of our church. The Word is important. For us to be strong and disciplined, we have to have the Word in the ministry of teaching and preaching. Prayer is important in a church. Without prayer, without the ministry of worship and intercession and prayer, we have no power and we're not expressing our love to our Savior and our God. Fellowship is important. What a wonderful environment that we can live in where we love each other and we're taking care of each other and we're nurturing each other. It's vital. And a church has got to be strong in fellowship and not forget that. Well, what about witnessing? If we're not witnessing to an outside world and balanced in our approach and sharing the gospel and the truth of the gospel with the outside world, there's no new growth. We as a church are not bearing fruit. So it's important that we have all the disciplines within our church in balance in the same way that a disciple is to have them in balance for us to be strong. What if a church is weak in one area and strong in another one? What if we're strong in fellowship and weak in witnessing? No new growth. No making disciples. What's the result of that? No new growth. The church will die. No reaching out. No fulfilling of the Great Commission. No developing disciples. No bringing people on. No bearing fruit. The church will die. What if we're weak in the word? What if we're a church that doesn't preach and teach the gospel? Then we could be tossed, as the Bible says, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We will eventually start looking more like the world instead of looking like Christ if we don't focus on God's word. So a church has got to be strong in God's word and focus on it to become more like him. What if we're weak in prayer? If we're weak in prayer, we're not expressing our love to our Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior. We're not showing our love for him. And he wants us to do it in our lives, show it, and express it, and put action to it. A church that is weak in prayer will be weak in our love for the Lord, and he desires us to love him. And we have power in prayer. Without weakened witness, there's no new growth. You get the analogies, okay? This all sounds good and complicated, but it's not much fun, is it? To be a disciple of Christ, you've got to work on all these things. I didn't mention in the beginning, but there is a secret to making this easier and less complicated. But I can't tell you that it is easy. I can't tell you that it's something that just happens. But there is some priorities that you can focus on that make it natural and easier for you to do. And I've had to go back and focus on this too. The number one thing that you have to do to be a disciple and to be able to grow stronger in all these disciplines in a balanced way is to love God. When we come to Christ, we know who Jesus Christ is, and he died on the cross for our sins. But as we walk through our maturing, sometimes that love grows stale. We have to continually be reminding ourselves of who God is and what he has done for us. Who the Savior is, and the fact that he bore our sins, and the fact that he died on the cross for us, and the fact that he is never leaving us alone. We have to constantly be reminding ourselves of that. And our love for our God and our Savior needs to be strong and a priority. If you love God, you will, out of your love for him, try to attempt to do these. We will naturally get out of balance sometimes. If Christ is the center of your life, let him control and lead your life totally. It will kind of flow out of you. We have to constantly remind ourselves of what he's done for us. And the world's got so many different ways to distract us from what Christ has done for us. The world's got so many ways for us to step away and start loving the world instead of loving him. There's always something to do. We have to keep coming back to him and reminding ourselves and not allowing ourselves to become comfortable. We have to make sure that we are doing and being all that our Savior wants us to be. Being a weak, unbalanced disciple will stagnate your growth and lead you to being spiritually frustrated. A weak, unbalanced disciple will not accomplish what the Savior desires for you to accomplish in your life. Where are you at in your balance? I'll tell you that early in my life, I was more like this. I was a shy kid, quiet kid, didn't want to talk about it, preacher's kid. Everybody always already thought that I knew what was going on. So I did not witness and didn't share. And witnessing was one of my weak things. So what I did was pray, because I struggled with that severely. Pray that God would show me how to witness and to testify to his truth in the way that I could. And he's answered that prayer. I love having gospel conversations with people. People will come to me and ask me about things, and you have conversations with them. And I found out that sharing the gospel is something I love to do because he loves me, and I get to share that with them, and he has taught me how to share it in a natural way, in a loving way. And then that, when the people find out that you're not going to hit them with the Bible, you're not going to shove tracts in their face and then walk off, that you're going to walk with them and explain to them, and they can come back and have another conversation with you, and you live your life as a testimony for them in a natural way, you will constantly have opportunities to share his gospel. So whatever area you are weak in, pray for him to help you, to teach you how to become stronger in that other area. It's a balanced approach. First part, love God. You learn to love God by deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow him. Obedience, do what he's asking you and be who he's asking you to be. Carry your cross, but deny yourself. Be a disciple. Amen.